need to maintain a constant state of preparedness, getting ready and being ready for that day, because indeed it won't be very long. It's good to see each of you here this morning, having taken advantage of the privilege of assembling together with the saints of God, that we may corporately worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is next to the last Lord's Day in 2014. The Lord has brought us a mighty long way this year, for which each of us should be humbly grateful, for which each of us should be eternally grateful. For there are so many who were not as privileged, who were not blessed to reach this particular point in this year, 2014. So let us thank God, and let us praise God for His goodness, His greatness, and His power. We appreciate those who have led us in our worship service thus far. We're thankful for Brother Brown for directing our singing in a fine way. We are thankful for the prayer that was led by Brother Waller, and for a very meaningful and thoughtful prayer, scripture reading by Brother Waller, and a very meaningful and thoughtful prayer by Brother Eric Prowell. We appreciate all three of those who have led us thus far. And we currently invite your attention to Mark chapter 4. It's a familiar passage to most of you. There might be a few who are not real familiar with it, but it is a familiar passage. Mark 4, 35-41. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over or cross over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part or back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? to talk to you this morning on Christ for the crises. Christ for the crises. I think most of us who are present in the audience today are familiar with crises. I think most of us have come through some kind of crises in our lives. Some have come through multiple crises. Others have experienced just a very few crises. Some might not, as of yet, have experienced any crises in your lives at all. But I say keep living. There are some crises in your future, whether you are consciously cognizant of them or not. I stop by to inform you, to make you aware that there are crises in your future. And it is significant and it is vitally important that we prepare ourselves beforehand in order to navigate safely the very crises, the various crises that we will be confronted with and in which we will be encapsulated at some time and some point in our lives. Christ for the crises. What I'd like to do is ask you to follow along with me as we look at some definitions for crises. Of course, crisis is defined as a dangerous or difficult situation that needs serious attention. Crisis is also defined as the turning point for better or worse in an acute disease or fever. An emotionally significant event or radical change of status in a person's life. You know, some people, when they get in their 40s or maybe their early 50s, they are said to go through a midlife crisis. And usually a midlife crisis is something that the male identifies with. And of course, it's in some ways akin to, on a different level, female menopause that some would describe as a midlife crisis. Crisis is also defined as an unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is impending, especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly undesirable outcome. Finally, crisis is defined as a situation that has reached a critical phase. A situation that has reached a critical phase. Consider Christ for the crises. Don't you dare enter into a crisis without the presence of Christ. Don't you dare try to navigate the dangerous and treacherous waters of a crisis in the absence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I just mentioned a moment ago that we have come a long way with the Lord's help in this year. You know, Jesus, in verse number 35, when the even was come, he saith unto his disciples, or unto them, let us pass or cross over unto the other side. I'd like to visualize each year as a lake comparable to the Lake of Galilee. And when we start out in January, we are on one side of the lake. And as we move across the lake, we come at last to the other side of the lake. We're pretty much on the other side of the lake of 2014. That's where we are. We have come through January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and now we are in December. We are almost on the other side. You say, preacher, what is your point? The point is, many of us at various points in the year 2014 found ourselves in various crisis situations. We found ourselves in various storms of life, like Jesus and his disciples found themselves in the midst of a storm. Now, when you look at the geographical location or situation of Galilee, it was about 696 feet below sea level. And because of its geographical location, it was often plagued by violent downdrafts and sudden storms because it was 696 feet below sea level. So oftentimes, without any forewarning, oftentimes out of the clear blue, a storm would descend upon the sea. A storm that was unanticipated. A storm that earlier was not even seen or thought about. Everything seems to be going well, and the eager winds are kissing every sail, and the sailing is tranquil on life's sea. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere it seems, a storm comes. That's the way it is with us in life. The way we are situated on this geographical area, or if you want to say this sea of life, we are likely to be visited by dangerous downdrafts and sudden storms come upon us. And we wonder, how are we going to make it? We wonder how we are going to survive when various crises arise in our lives. What kind of crises do we become victims of, Brother Jones? Well, there are a number of different kinds, and I won't even attempt at this point to enumerate them all. But I'm sure that some of us can identify with the various ones I shall name, and you'll be able to add to the list. I think most of us are familiar with financial crises. We're familiar with family crises, familiar with parental crises, marital crises. We are familiar with job crises. We are familiar with health crises. We are familiar with crises of sorrow, crises of bereavement, and a vast assortment of other crises. But the thing is, no matter what your crisis might be, we want to inform you and assure you that Jesus can help you manage effectively whatever your crises might be. On this occasion, there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that now it was full. Everything is pretty much all right as long as the ship is in the water. But when the water starts getting in the ship, you have some serious problems. Your crisis has escalated when the water ends up getting in the ship. Now, it's interesting as we look at the crisis in which they found themselves. In verse number 38, where was Jesus? Where was Christ, the crisis manager, when this storm arose? Verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. That is, he was in the back part of the ship. And what was he doing? He was asleep on a pillow. Asleep. Why was he asleep on a pillow in the midst of the crisis? I want to suggest two reasons. His fatigue. He was tired. And sometimes in life, we get tired. We experience fatigue. Jesus was not only human or divine, but he was also human. Jesus got tired. Jesus got frustrated. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got discouraged. Jesus experienced sorrow because he was made in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. The Word was made flesh, says John. John 1:14, and dwelt among us. He was a man like us. So he knows what it's like to go through what we went through, or what we are going through. He went through it already. That was an acute crisis in the life of Jesus. And we see it coming to a head in the old Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus prayed in great solemnity, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was in the midst of a crisis that eventually culminated on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord was with him. And no matter what crisis you might be going through, or what crisis you might have just come out of, or what crisis you might be headed into, you want to always, as was indicated in our lesson this morning, you want to always subordinate your will to the will of God. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. If you want to manage your crisis, if you want to come out safe on the other side, if you want to successfully weather the storm, you need to subordinate your will to his will. It's interesting that there's another person of whom we read in sacred scripture who was asleep in the storm. Y'all know who that was, don't you? He was down in the sides of the ship. Jonah chapter 1, that was Brother Jonah. The storm arose, and really he was the cause of the storm arising in his life and in the lives of the mariners that manned the ship. And sometimes we can be culpable for the storms that come into our lives. If we're not careful, some storms, some crisis, we can bring upon ourselves, some crises rather, we can bring upon ourselves. So we minimize the likelihood of some crises coming into our lives by making sure that we always live in a manner that is in harmony with God's will and in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. But Jonah was disobedient. Jonah was running from God, but there was no place to hide. For the all-seeing eye of the Almighty was watching him. And so the mariners came down. They said, wait a minute. What are you doing down here asleep? Get up. Get up, O sleeper. Call upon the name of your God. They wanted to know why the storm came into their lives. Why has this happened to us? And they found out that Jonah was the culprit. But now one thing I can appreciate, and I think you can too, those guys hated to throw Jonah overboard. They tried their level best to save themselves and the ship without having to get rid of Jonah, the dangerous cargo that was on the ship. So they took some of the wares out of the ship, threw it over the side. But they needed to throw old Jonah over the side. They asked him, what should we do? Jonah said, take me up and cast me into the sea. I'm the problem. You know, there's some things sometimes in our lives that in order to stop the storm, we need to get rid of. Sometimes there are Jonahs in our lives that we need to throw overboard in order that we can survive. And it's interestingly written in Jonah 1:15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. That was a great calm. See, now old Jonah's shown up in a crisis because he's been thrown out of the ship. He's been thrown into the ocean, into the sea. But God has a marvelous way of getting crisis or crises under control. What did he do? Prepared a great fish. And it, for some, is a whale of a tale. But it's as true as it can be. Jesus validated the authenticity of the story of Jonah. Because he said, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord rescued Jonah from his crisis. He'll rescue you as well. And when we look at Jesus, he is the one to manage the crisis. Now, let us never conclude. Let us never doubt the Master's love. Let us never doubt the Master's caring. You know the question they asked? They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We used to sing a song by that name. I think it's still around. We ought to sing that sometimes. And of course, surely he cares. I know he cares. Master, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment a storm is maddening to drown us in the angry deep? I can't think of the exact words of it, but it's a very meaningful song. And it affirms, it assures that Jesus does care. Now, sometimes you might feel like he doesn't care. Sometimes you might think he doesn't care. But he cares. You can be assured of the fact that he cares. Jesus cares for you, and he cares for me. And he has marvelous power to calm down the storm and to bring the crisis under control. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When the winds of opposition, the winds of illness, the winds of financial reverses, the winds of domestic problems, the winds of distresses and losses and discouragement and disappointment, when these winds blow violently into our lives, we can be assured that Jesus is always there and that he is the one that can calm these troubling winds. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Did you know that the phrase, fear not, appears in the Bible about 365 times? That's interesting that it's 365. That's one for every day of the year. Every morning when we arise from our comfortable beds, we should be able to say in the words of the Lord, fear not. And they feared exceedingly. They were filled with awe, with reverential respect for Jesus, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Christ for the crises. Some of us have been through some crises in 2014. We might go through some more. The year's not over yet. And you can be assured that individually and corporately as a congregation, we're going to experience some crises in 2015. But you want to always keep Jesus in your life. Amen. He assured his disciples when he uttered the words of the Great Commission, the New Testament Commission, he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We are reminded in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Take Jesus with you everywhere you go. You want to definitely take him with you as you go into various crises of life. If you are here and you are not a child of God, we'd like to urge you, encourage you to become one today. I'd like to encourage you to enroll in what I call, and you've heard me call it, God's Providential Protection Plan. You know, folks have flood insurance, insurance that covers fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, but you need some crises insurance of a spiritual kind. Its terms and provisions are laid out in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord will make sure whatever happens to you, whatever crisis you find yourself in, he will orchestrate it and manipulate it and work it out to advance you. You as a faithful child of God, there's no way you can be defeated by Satan, the forces of evil, by sinners or whomever, by the enemies of the Lord. Nothing can defeat the faithful child of God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, become one. You've heard the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he rose again the third day from the grave. Just like he promised, Jesus followed through on his promise. If you'll hear this good news of the gospel, because when he died for your sins and mine, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and allow the Lord to make you a part of his family, to make you a part of the church of his choice. You can be a part of God's family today. You can go home knowing that you are a child of God, that you are saved. Like the Ethiopian nobleman of old, you can go on your way rejoicing. Maybe you're here and you're a child of God, but you've fallen by the way and need to be restored. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, it can be done. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.